This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is freshman Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski. She's from Illinois, a member of the House Ag Committee, and we'll talk in just a moment. First off, let's look at USDA's food price forecast. Matt McLaughlin is a USDA economist.
Food away from home prices have continued to grow faster than food at home prices. We are looking at an expected price increase of 7.5% for food away from home, with a prediction interval between 7 and 7.9%. It's substantially lower for food at home, where we're seeing a 4.9% increase for food at home prices, with a prediction interval of 3.7 to 6.1%.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Nikki Budzinski, who is from Illinois, represents the 13th Congressional District. So good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Tony. Thank you for having me on.
Well, first off, welcome to Congress and welcome to the House Ag Committee. It's almost baptism by fire, if you will. You've come in and, boy, hit the ground running, haven't you?
I really tried. You know, the House Agriculture Committee was my number one selection for committee assignment when I came in as a freshman, in part because I knew it was a farm bill year, so that was where the action was going to be. But also I'd say it's a great committee for so many wonderful deliverables for Central and Southern Illinois, which is the part of the state that I represent in the 13th District. And so really excited to be a part of this committee. And I would say too, Tony, it's a bipartisan committee. It's still, as you know, one of the few places in Washington where we can work together across the party aisle to get things done. I've tried to do that in this first 7 months in office, introduce some legislation that supports our family farmers, but on a bipartisan basis.
You mentioned family farmers. Any chance you talk with the Illinois Farm Bureau?
It's so funny you ask. I actually just left a meeting with the Illinois Farm Bureau, and I'm in regular touch with them. I would say one of the things I thought was really important when I first took office was to actually set up an agricultural advisory council in the district so that I could hear directly from all of the different stakeholders within Central and Southern Illinois that the House Agriculture Committee is going to touch on. And so obviously the Illinois Farm Bureau has one of those seats at the table. But I'm also really excited that we have a lot of our great universities. You know, the University of Illinois, our College of ACES program is a world-class agriculture program that I'm really proud to get the chance to represent. But we launched our first council meeting actually at Lincoln Land Community College. We've got great community colleges in Central and Southern Illinois that are leading the way in agricultural research and innovation. Precision agriculture, Parkland Community College was the first community college in the country to have a certified program in precision ag. So getting to advocate for those types of issues and to hear directly from my agricultural advisory council on the issues that they care the most about, knowing that I'm a freshman going into a farm bill year, that there's a lot to learn, but there are so many opportunities for us in Central and Southern Illinois in this committee. That's why I'm so excited to serve on it.
Now, when we talk farm bill, there's multiple titles across there. There's, I believe, 12 titles at last check. So when you look at the farm bill, is there an area that you're really focused on right now? Even though you're focused on all of it, is there one that really has your attention?
Well, obviously, I have to say, first and foremost, you know, I'm a very big supporter of crop insurance and the nutrition title. Those are two really key critical components that I think have a lot of bipartisan support on the committee. So obviously very supportive of those things. And those are definitely deliverables for the district. But apart from that, I actually get to serve on three different subcommittees. Most House members actually only volunteer for two. I volunteered for three. So on that, I get to really be an advocate on the front lines for a lot of those issues, a lot of those titles that are going to be really important in negotiation in the farm bill. I'm on the commodities subcommittee, so making sure that we're advocating for our top commodities in Illinois, which we're the number one soybean producer in the country, the state of Illinois is. We're the second producer only to Iowa and corn, and we're also top pork producer. So we have a lot of really important commodities within central and southern Illinois, wanting to make sure I'm advocating for our family farmers and that food production. I'd also say agricultural research is something that's a really important title for me, too. I highlighted for you some of the great places of higher education that we have. We actually even have in the city of Decatur, they've actually set up an FFA Academic Excellence Program within Decatur. So a lot of great agricultural education programs that are really critical. And something that I really want to be an advocate for within the Farm Bill. But also I would say there's a lot of other legislative initiatives. One of them I just recently introduced, which is the Young Farmers Bill, bipartisan piece of legislation. My Republican colleague on the House Ag Committee, who too is a freshman, Zach Nunn, representing Des Moines, we bonded as friends, I think, very quickly in new member orientation because he, like me, we both represent state capital communities. He represents Des Moines. I represent Springfield, Illinois. That's my home. And so we bonded over corn and soybean and pork, and we've come together on, I think, a really important piece of legislation that we just introduced last week that's going to help incentivize and expand the land capital access program within the USDA. Right now, that is just a small pilot program, but what we're advocating for is expanding it to a $100 million program annually. That what it would do is actually help to provide technical assistance, support for young and beginning farmers, those in underserved areas that are underrepresented in agriculture, help them to get on their feet. So that they can get access to land and they can possibly compete with developers that are also looking at that same land. How do we help those young and beginning farmers get access to land? And so through this grant program, we can provide direct financial aid to them as they're getting off the ground. I think that's really important, Tony, as we think about the fact that farmers now, on an average, are upwards of almost 60 years old today. So you have to ask yourself, who is going to be coming up behind them? Who is that next generation of young farmers to be taking advantage of the great soil we have in central Illinois? Continue to grow corn and soybeans so that we are a leading agricultural leader in the country. We need young farmers to be coming up the pipeline.
Well, you're talking about young farmers, which means they're replacing the older farmers. Is there any concern about health care and especially access in rural communities?
Yeah, that is honestly another real passion of mine. I think in rural communities like those that I come from, those that I represent, we have unique challenges when it comes to health care and access to health care. Our rural hospitals are facing the pinch financially and for a lot of different reasons, but one of them in particular is our workforce shortages. We have a real challenge attracting specialty care. You know, I talk very openly about the fact that I do believe we have a mental health crisis in this country that has left no community untouched. That's young, old. I hear about that actually from our Agricultural Advisory Council. Family farmers are facing mental health challenges as we have a pretty volatile market right now and what that means. And so how are we making sure that people in these communities get the health care access that they need to the specialists? And so one of the things, again, a bipartisan piece of legislation I've introduced is the Rural Health Corps Act, which would basically say to healthcare professionals that come to our community, stay in our community for 5 years, we're going to help relieve some of your student debt. And I think that's just one small way that we can help to incentivize people to stay in our wonderful communities that we have, continue to practice, and as an end result, help my constituents get the access to the specialty health care that we need. I think it's incredibly, incredibly important. And something I would mention, too, you know, I know we're going to talk a lot about the House Ag Committee, but my second committee is the House Veterans Affairs Committee, which is so important. I serve on the Health Subcommittee. using that platform of that subcommittee, I'm really trying to lean in on healthcare and specifically rural healthcare for our veterans as well. So lots to do in this space, and I'm hoping our legislative initiative will come to fruition and we'll be able to provide some relief to some of these communities.
You know, we didn't even have time to talk about broadband or some of the other things that you've done before you came to Congress. So that means one thing, you have to come back and visit with us again.
I would be happy to. Anytime you
You'll
have
do that,
back.
Right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. Well,
yes.
And by the way, good luck on getting this 23 farm bill across the finish line.
Thank you. We need to do it. We got to get it done.
Again, it's the Honorable Nikki Budzinski, who represents the 13th Congressional District of Illinois, and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Where is the beef industry heading? Find out firsthand October 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Gaylord Texan Resort in Grapevine. It's Texas Cattle Feeders Association's annual convention featuring John Foley, a former Blue Angels pilot, and mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman. The 2023 TCFA annual convention in Grapevine. Learn more online, tcfa.org. Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. The ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee is John Bozeman from Arizona on the current state of WOTUS.
The good news is we've got a court that is trying to interpret the law based on the Constitution. And when you read the Constitution, it's very clear that it talks about the federal government having control over navigable waters. And then the rest of it is governed by the states. And so that's what they've gotten back to. And they've done it, I think, in a fairly clear fashion. So we'll have to wait and see what the Biden administration does. But I was very, very pleased with the ruling. And, if they do what the Supreme Court has said they need to do, then things will be fine. But I think under the Biden rule and the Obama rule, probably something like 97% of the water in Arkansas was under federal control. That's simply absurd. It's not the way that it should be. And so what the court has done is gotten that back, to a situation like it was for many, many years until, there's this extreme waters of the U.S. definition, that came about. So I think we're moving in the right direction. It's so important. The other thing, too, is, as you point out, Tony, that the worst thing is just the uncertainty. Administration comes in and this and that, and they change dramatically. But hopefully with this ruling, the court has outlined, a much stricter parameter for them to work within, and we'll have some stability so that our farmers and ranchers, everybody involved in agriculture, everybody, period, involved in development, or even if you're worried about doing something in your yard and it drains into a drainage ditch under the old rules, that we don't have to worry about those kind of things in the future.
And this is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Supporting the High Plains cotton producer is the number one priority for Plains cotton growers. Since its inception in 1956, PCG has focused on being the advocate for High Plains cotton and a respected voice on cotton issues. Protecting the interest of the High Plains cotton producer requires a dependable, dedicated organization focused on getting results, and cotton producers depend on the organization they founded, Plains Cotton Growers. From the halls of Congress to the turn rows of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest again, Illinois Representative and member of the House Ag Committee, Nikki Budzinski.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A drying trend in many parts of the country reflected in USDA's latest topsoil moisture report. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says for the period ending July 23rd,
topsoil moisture 43%, very short to short nationwide. That's a 5 percentage point jump from the previous week. Meanwhile, topsoil moisture surplus, just 5% of the country, down a point from last week.
He says parts of the Northeast are still drying out from heavy rains 2 weeks ago. Yet for the remainder,
the emerging story here is the expanding dryness. We see numbers considerably higher in some areas across the Northwest. Washington State, 80%, very short to short, closely followed by Oregon at 71%. Four states in the Western Corn Belt reporting topsoil moisture at least 50%, short to very short, led by Missouri at 67%, followed by Minnesota 64%, Wisconsin 62%, and Iowa 55%.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.